Lyme disease is one of the scarier health challenges out there. A bite from a tick can infect a person, leading to Lyme disease itself and a host of problems that come with it and can linger for a long time. Lyme disease is not nearly as prevalent in the West as it is on the East Coast, and researchers are looking at the disease and its spread and its carriers carefully. Researchers at the University of California, Santa Barbara recently published a paper on the animals in which the Lyme disease bacteria lives on its way to humans. The headline, watch out for wood rats. Andrew McDonald is an assistant professor at the Bren School of Environmental Science and Management at the Earth Research Institute at the University of California, Santa Barbara. Welcome, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Samantha Sambato is with us as well, a doctoral student in the same program. Welcome, Samantha.
Thanks for having me as well.
You bet. Bunches of details to get into here. What was the starting point for the research? What did you want to know, Andrew, that was not previously understood well?
Yeah, so I would say the ultimate objective of this study that we just published was to understand what community ecology was best predictive of where we find infected ticks. So, you know, what host species are present is sort of a key indicator there. And then could we use predictions of where we expect to find infected ticks to understand where humans are likely to be infected as well?
All right, so try to figure out where the animals are, which animals, for that matter, to carry the thing, and then what that might tell the rest of us for avoiding those or avoiding those areas?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So, Samantha, this seems like a growth area, both physically and in research. I mean, are spillover diseases increasing?
I think that's a complicated question. I think there are a lot of changes that are happening, you know, land use change or, you know, global change, climate change. So it really depends where you're at and, you know, what kind of data that you're using and what kind of narrative you're trying to build. So Lyme disease is, the number one vector-borne disease in North America, and especially, you know, being on the West Coast, it's not as heard of, but it definitely exists. And so trying to understand what creates these different patches of risk and how can we better inform people to enjoy the outdoors while also taking preventive measures like tick checks.
So in the pathway from the wild to humans, remind us, Samantha, what reservoirs are for diseases, for these zoonotic diseases that can end up from an animal and eventually in a human?
Yeah, reservoirs is just a fancy term for hosts that are able to become infected with the pathogen, amplify the pathogen within its body, and then spread the pathogen to vectors such as ticks. So they're kind of incubators, essentially, for the pathogen. So the pathogen needs these hosts in order to survive and be transmitted.
All right. And the pathogen, in case anybody was wondering, Borrelia burgdorferi, is that the way it's pronounced, Samantha?
It's a mouthful, yes. Borrelia burgdorferi, if you want to get fancy with Latin. But yes, we refer to it as BB.
Oh, yeah, because it'd be burgdorferi. Okay. So, and what are the most common reservoirs in California for that pathogen? Go ahead, Andrew.
Sorry, go ahead, Tim.
Oh, really exciting question. Thank you. Yes, so common reservoirs in California, meaning we've been able to go out, collect these, you know, critters, and then test them and say we've identified the pathogen within it. So far, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, the wood rat is a reservoir, the California gray squirrel, the kangaroo, deer mouse. So those are probably the three top reservoirs within California ecosystem.
Okay, was kangaroo rat, is that one the one there in the middle?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, all right. So, so Andrew, are these mammals carriers, or do they generally not show symptoms of the disease themselves?
Yeah, that's right. That's one of the sort of interesting things about these zoonotic disease systems. The pathogens often do not have any sort of negative impact on the hosts that are carrying them in the wild. And so it's those spillover transmissions, we call them, from, say, a tick to a human rather than a tick to a wood rat that actually cause some sort of disease to occur. So generally speaking, these hosts are living just fine with these infections.
Is there research, I have to wonder, about the kinds of things in the immune systems of these smaller mammals that allow them to be carriers and not actually display any symptoms of Lyme?
I'm not as familiar with that line of research, with that literature, but I think a lot of it has to do with the long period of time over which these transmission dynamics have evolved. And so, the long time period over which these animals have sort of become infected and developed with this pathogen is just part of their life. I think their immune systems have just sort of learned to deal with those infections without presenting any sort of negative symptoms.
All right. We are talking about Lyme disease and its mammal carriers in California, as studied in research by our guests from the University of California, Santa Barbara, Andrew McDonald, an assistant professor, Samantha Sambato, a doctoral student. You might have questions or comments as well. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Got a quick email here from Randy and Roosh, who says, "Oh, swell. Well, I live at the base of Wood Rat Mountain and spend a lot of time managing the woodland on our property." Thanks for that, Randy and Roosh. Is it as simple, Samantha, if wood rats are present, so is Lyme disease?
The Lyme disease is really a cast of characters that have to overlap at the same time, at the same place. And so just because you may have ticks or just because you may have wood rats, that doesn't necessarily mean that the Lyme disease pathogen is there. And so, or, you know, if also, ultimately, if you as a human are in a place where the wood rat, the tick, and the pathogen are, if you perform, you know, tick checks, make showering after you recreate, that really does prevent your risk, and that's probably the most proactive thing that you can do. So just because a wood rat exists does not mean that you're guaranteed to get Lyme disease. You as an individual have a lot of autonomy to prevent that transmission risk as well.
And where did you, it was all in California you were looking, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, Andy, if you want, you can speak about more.
Yeah, I was just going to say that our study was limited to the state of California just based on the data that was available. So we unfortunately can't extrapolate to Southern Oregon.
Okay. So Randy, it might not necessarily be there yet. We can potentially say that much. How thick is the stack of data at this point, given that that Lyme disease hasn't been as well established here as it has certainly on the East Coast for decades now?
Yeah, it's certainly a less well-understood system in the Western U.S. You know, the big question here is, given we have the tick, given we have the bacteria, given we have hosts that can act as reservoirs, why is it not more common? And so that's kind of the big question that a lot of us are trying to address. And there are a number of different hypotheses. For example, there's a lizard species called the Western fence lizard that lots of ticks feed on. And it's actually a really bad host for the bacteria. It actually can cleanse feeding ticks of infection. So it has a protein in its blood that kills the bacteria. And so that's one reason that we think it's less common here, but there are lots of others that we're exploring still and don't really understand well.
I wonder too how much early warnings like research like this and any public health warnings might be making people aware of the potential for Lyme disease before it gets a super strong foothold.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, that's something that we're actually thinking about right now, is trying to understand variation in awareness of Lyme disease and of tick-borne disease in human populations across the state, and how that might be influencing the patterns that we see. You know, if people don't know that they should be concerned in a given region or a given time of year, you know, is that sort of a big risk factor, not just the ecology out there?
All right. So, Samantha, I want to ask about the term species richness used in the paper. What does that term mean?
Yeah, people define it in maybe different ways, but I think in our paper we are saying species richness means, you know, a species is unique. So something like a golden retriever versus a terrier, those are two different species. And so when we're looking at the number of different species within a given area, so, you know, some areas we do have those three important species for Lyme disease, the wood rat, the squirrel, the kangaroo rat. So that would have, you know, higher species richness than maybe an area that just had western gray squirrels.
Okay. So given the three or so animals, well, actually you mentioned four, wood rat, gray squirrel, kangaroo rat, deer mouse. I mean, is a wood rat basically at the top of the list for the ones that are most likely to have B. borrelii within it? And B. burgdorferi?
I think taking a look at maybe some smaller scales. So when people go out and research, you know, one forest over and over again, and they test them for Lyme disease, you tend to see that the wood rats tend to have higher prevalences of Lyme disease, but also sometimes the deer mice also have high prevalence. It just really depends where you're at. But all of those species are capable of being incubators for the pathogen.
You mentioned earlier, Samantha, about land use change and climate change, and I wonder how you were able to incorporate them into this research and what effects they would have on where Lyme disease ends up.
Yeah, I think the goal of the paper ultimately wasn't to look at those two stressors per se, but I think tying into where humans are recreating, where humans are picking up ticks, we're thinking about the wild-urban interface, the WUI, where people do live near proximity to these areas that do have all the three important players, are at a higher risk than someone who maybe lives in an urban setting. So I think our paper, we kind of address a little bit like the different types of landscapes maybe lead to different risk areas in terms of having the important players there. But I know there's been a lot of research within our own lab group and across other lab groups looking at, how the weather is changing and how that will impact tick population specifically.
So is it a sure thing that if the Lyme disease is present in the animals and the animals migrate for climate or habitat reasons, is the disease naturally going to go with them?
I think it depends on whether the ticks follow. Different species respond differently to climate change and land use change. And if the ticks and the wood rats respond in the same way, then likely that will be true. If they respond differently, which is a possibility because, ticks are ectotherms, wood rats are mammals, endotherms, so they could respond really differently to climate change. So I think that is a big future question that we'll be looking to address.
Andrew McDonald and Samantha Sambato are our guests on the Jefferson Exchange from the University of California, Santa Barbara. Two of the three researchers who signed on to a recently published paper in Environmental Research Letters about Lyme disease ecology and epidemiology, looking basically at the critters that carry Lyme disease in California and the places where they live and the most likely reservoirs for the disease, in a hope of understanding better how the disease moves around and can ultimately get to humans. If you might have some questions or comments for our guests, join us on the exchange by phone at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. How much, if at all, Andrew, did you guys look at the human side of the equation, the things that we do that bring us into proximity with infected animals? Samantha was talking about the WUI, but, I mean, have we determined if it's more recreational versus residential, anything like that?
So the paper that we just published, the extent of our exploration of that question was looking at the relationship between the ecology and the human disease within the wildland-urban interface, so where people sort of live in proximity to wildlands, but then also in open-access public land, so places where people might recreate. And the results that we got, which are actually in contrast with some other studies that have been published, so should be taken with a grain of salt, our results suggest that risk is probably higher in wildland-urban interface settings, in sort of peri-domestic settings around where people live, than it is in recreational settings. That said, there have been some studies suggesting that exposure to ticks in California is probably higher in recreational contexts. So it's hard to say what the biggest risk factor is there.
Is there anything about the existing climate as it currently stands or anything else about topography, plant species, anything else that is making it a little more difficult, if at all, for the Lyme disease pathogen to get established in California?
So we see this gradient from south to north. In the south, we really don't have much at all. We have lots of ticks, but we don't have the bacteria that causes Lyme disease. And I think that has a lot to do with both climatic factors and the habitats that are in Southern California. So generally speaking, we don't have wood rats because we don't have good habitat for them in Southern California. And the sort of hotter, drier climates also make it harder for this tick species to actually look for hosts. They really need a lot of moisture in the environment to spend a lot of time looking for hosts. And we just don't have that in the south. So I think there's sort of a combination of things going on, sort of related to climate and land cover.
Let me take a call here. Connie and Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Andrew McDonald and Samantha Sambato from UC Santa Barbara.
Good morning. Very interesting topic. My concern in terms of tracking disease as opposed to the the tick or the particular pathogen that gets labeled as Lyme disease is that we have different pathogens here in the Northwest than, say, in the Northeast or other sections. I realize you were tracking, I believe, the B variant for Lyme disease, but we have tick-borne diseases that are carried by other variants of the organisms, and I wondered if you were following that at all and how that would affect here us here in the Northwest. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Connie.
Yeah, so our study is just on Lyme disease, but you're right that there are many other tick-borne diseases out there. So anaplasmosis and babesiosis are a couple more that are transmitted by the same tick species. We also have Rocky Mountain spotted fever, which is transmitted by dog ticks. So a different species with different ecology. There are a lot of research groups that are looking into those particular diseases and pathogens, but our study and our work tends to be on Lyme disease.
All right. Thanks for that question, Connie. How do we use the results of this research, Samantha? I mean, what kinds of measures can be taken to hopefully put some distance between humans and Lyme disease?
That's a great question. I think, first of all, I think this paper was exciting because it was trying to blend a lot of different scientific backgrounds, not just, you know, field ecologists or microbiologists, but really try to link all the strengths of these different scientific fields. And I think as people, you know, expand their expertise or try to collaborate more frequently, hopefully we can try to do more studies that link the ecology to the epidemiology, I mean, linking, you know, the natural systems to human systems, because as we see more people are recreating, more, you know, there is a shifting of vector-borne diseases. So I think this is an exciting paper where we show the steps of how to link these different types of data sources to build a linkage between the ecology and epidemiology.
And Samantha, you mentioned a couple of preventive measures that people should be taking anyway if they're out there in places where there are ticks. Can you reiterate the general run of things that people should be doing when they come in from outside? And first of all, how to prepare for dressing outside.
Yes, I still think everyone should recreate all the time. Just because there's ticks does not mean to stop recreating. Outside's awesome. But I think, so preparing to go outside, wear, you know, your tall socks over your pants, you know, sturdy shoes. I like to wear long sleeves and a hat. I have long hair, so it's nice to hide my hair from any branches or things like that. But let's say if you do get a tick, first you should have, you know, a pair of tweezers. So if you get bit by a tick, you can take tweezers and get as close as you can to the head and your skin and remove the tick at a 90-degree angle. But before you get bit by a tick, you can always, you know, have someone do a tick check on you, especially behind the ears or behind your knees. Shower, or if you feel like you have a lot of ticks on your clothes, you can always throw your clothes on top of a hot car or inside a dryer to kill them as well.
All right. All kinds of things out there. And a lot of research obviously going on to see what's going on with Lyme disease as it gets more firmly established on the West Coast. I want to thank our guests for joining us. Andrew McDonald, assistant professor at UC Santa Barbara. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Samantha Sambato, doctoral student. Thank you so much, and especially for getting us correct on the pronunciation of Borrelia burgdorferi.
Oh, you're doing great. Thank you so much for having us.
All right. Take care.